Hey everybody, it's Eric Clark, January 8th. Another overview of one of our key themes for dynamic brands. Remember, we are global consumer spending trends focused, and we look at each one of the spending categories that are important for consumers, identify if that spending category is still relevant, important, hopefully growing, and then identify the most relevant brands in that category. And then we go about doing some fundamental work as well as technical work to decide which names or name we decide to own. Now, you know, let's talk about travel. Obviously, you have hotels, Marriott, Hilton, those kinds of brands. But then you have the platforms, Airbnb, Booking, which is the old Priceline, as well as Expedia. And you know, Airbnb is obviously the most is probably the most recognized, frankly, but it's slightly different. Obviously, it's more home sharing relative to Booking and Expedia. Primarily, are the you know online travel agencies where you go to one place and you have lots of different brands to choose from, and you can kind of price match and look at locations for car rentals and cruises and hotels and airfares, etc. They try to really make your life easier. Obviously, the online travel agencies should, in theory, be a lot more profitable because they don't have that huge overhead similar to a hotel. That changes a little bit because you know names like Hilton, they're somewhat asset light, and so the margins are a bit higher than actually owning a property, having to staff the property. A lot of fixed costs in each one of those things, but all of them in the industry through the pandemic really under-earned. A lot of them had to raise some debt. They all had to really, you know, get lean and get fit with their businesses and right-size the businesses because they were not earning very much in revenue. And the dividends from, you know, getting fit while not always being fun are going to pay for years and years and years because these companies are going to operate much more efficiently than they ever have. And when they see the return of their stocks and the better operating metrics, they're probably not going to go backwards and go back to the way that they used to be, you know, certainly the good management team. So, you know, we own Expedia now. We've owned Airbnb, Booking, and Expedia all in the past at different times. Expedia in particular is interesting because it's a bit of a turnaround story relative to the others that are somewhat firing on all cylinders. So, you know, if you just look at from a revenue base and some of the operating metrics, you know, Expedia's $12.5 billion in revenue, Booking's 20 and change, Airbnb is about $9 billion, but the market cap, the value of these businesses is really where you see the disconnect. The market cap of Expedia is about a little over $20 billion, Booking's $120 billion, and Airbnb is about $89 or $90 billion. So there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think the key here is that as Expedia has turned the corner on profitability, kind of consolidating a lot of their brands, doing a massive tech project to get all of their brands under one tech stack, which allows them to be a lot more efficient in their marketing and with all of their metrics, you're going to kind of see a closing of the gap of this outsized difference in market cap. And, you know, just for some perspective, you know, Airbnb obviously is the pure play home sharing brand. Everybody knows it. $89 billion market cap, like I said, $9.5 billion in revenues. You know, the VRBO, Vrbo, in under the Expedia brand, they don't report specifically their revenues, but estimates are somewhere around 20 to 30% of what Airbnb's is. And so, if you just take Vrbo and use Airbnb as a comp, and then maybe discount it because Airbnb is clearly a much more relevant, recognizable brand than Vrbo. But you're talking about, you know, if Expedia were to just spin off Vrbo into its own public company, in my opinion, Expedia stock would go straight vertical because you know, we peg the Vrbo division to be about $17 billion of worth to the business. And the whole market cap's 20 or 21 billion. So you're getting, you know, most of the revenue at Expedia, which isn't Vrbo. You know, estimates are about 30% of the revenue of Expedia is Vrbo. So you're getting most of Expedia almost for free. So again, there's been a lot of reasons for this valuation disconnect, but with Peter Kern, who's the CEO since 2020, I believe, you know, the guy's got private equity roots. He knows how to streamline in a business and get it operationally fit and has been doing that. It's been an expensive, painful process interrupted by the pandemic, which, you know, put all of these companies in the hurt locker for a period of time. They had to raise some debt, so they're now paying back debt. But long story short, there's a lot of improvement in the operating metrics, the free cash flows, the operating margins, the net income of Expedia, just to kind of get back to where they were as a business and where they should be as a more efficient business in today's world. And we still love the travel, return of experiences over goods story. And, you know, if you just look at Expedia, when Dara Khosrowshahi was the CEO, he's now the CEO of Uber, another portfolio holding, you know, he took over as CEO of Expedia in August of 2005, and then I think stepped down to around August of 2017. So he was there for 12 years. He is a tremendous operator. He knows how to grow a business. He knows how to integrate acquisitions. Expedia stock annualized at 18% a year versus the S&P at 8%. So he was in the sweet spot of Expedia's growth. And some might argue they did too many acquisitions under his belt and didn't integrate them well. But he did leave, you know, in 2017, I think. So in many ways, he may have made some great acquisitions. The predecessor just didn't integrate them as well. And so, you know, long story short, we think there's a lot of room for Expedia to catch up. It's trading at 9x earnings, bookings about 16 times, Airbnb is about 27 times. So if you can kind of get closer on the operating metrics to your peers, that valuation gap should close pretty meaningfully. And, you know, Expedia's got 200 websites with 70 in 70 countries. You know, their site says they make about 600 billion AI predictions a year across the platform of Orbitz and HomeAway and Travelocity, Hotwire, Cheap Tickets, CarRentals.com, and Trivago. So, you know, I personally, as a guy who believes in the power of a brand, I think they have too many brands, as does Booking. That's probably why Airbnb has such a wonderful valuation relative to the group, because it's Airbnb and they can market one brand across every country. Whereas, you know, if I go on Expedia, or maybe I know Travelocity because that's the one that I've been using, I may not even know Travelocity is part of Expedia. Now the branding on the sites are now driving that subliminal message, but I still think there's probably some good marketing spend on Expedia to get everybody rolled up into the Expedia brand so they can kind of de-emphasize some of the other sub brands. But regardless, at the end of the day, there's some real good catch up on a super cheap stock. In the latest quarter, we really saw the fruits of that turnaround come in. Margins were better, top line revenue was better, profitability was better. Their B2B and B2C into their businesses were accelerating, and they exhausted their $1.8 billion share buyback, which was what was left last year, and then reinstituted a new $5 billion share buyback going forward. So, well, there you go. It's the end of the trading day on Monday, January 8th, and Expedia had a good day, up 2.5%. So, you know, they have already kind of been buying back stock last year when the stock was down. So that was a good, strong capital allocation decision. They have made a clear vote that the stock is still way too cheap relative to the where they're headed over the next 3 to 5 years. And so there will be a persistent buyer, particularly on weakness, of Expedia stock through this big new buyback as well, which we like. And so, you know, at the end of the day, there is a big disconnect between the value of Vrbo and relative to Airbnb. And we know that is a good demographic play, right? Airbnb and Vrbo particularly skew younger. And so there's a long runway of younger individuals and travelers just anchoring to the home sharing, at least in part of their travel. And those trends will continue in our lifespan. So I don't love buying stocks that are really anchored to older people where there isn't much runway and where younger people consumers haven't really adopted the same methodologies and buying patterns. So, you know, things like Spotify and travel where they skew much younger just has a very long runway of growth, which tends to bail you out even if you have a bad quarter or two along the way, which is certainly inevitable. So we love the stock. You know, it's still 30% off of where it was at the high point in 2022. So you're getting the stock at a discount from where it was, and they're firing on all cylinders, and they have much better comparisons year over year because of this big tech integration that's now going to fall off from a CapEx spend, et cetera, relative to the peers. So better comps going forward, better profitability, and a real big mismatch between the operating metrics of the business versus their peer group. So that should compress and put the valuation higher and closer to the peers. So I think there's a lot of room upside in Expedia. And we are looking at Booking and Airbnb as well. But for now, we own just Expedia. So I will keep you posted on any changes in that category. And thank you so much. And I'll do probably one more over the next couple of days.